Sunday Surefire Podcast. I'm your host, the Commish. Joining me today is, well, nobody. You are only going to be hearing from me today. I've so kindly given the night off to both Aaron Downtown Brown and Ethan Weaver. They're recovering from a long NFL season and postseason run. Aaron's probably still a little bit hungover from his Kansas City Chiefs taking home the Super Bowl. So I'm giving them both a night off here, and I am coming to the plate to give you guys a sneak peek behind the Pro Football Focus paywall. That's right. I'm going to be talking about a handful of players that graded out really well in PFF in their grading system in 2023. But before we get into that here, for those of you who aren't aware of Pro Football Focus or PFF for short, and any of the work that they do over there, just know that they're one of the premier sports analytics companies out there. They track data for every player in both the NFL as well as the Division I college ranks. And each year they grade every player against their peers at their respective positions. So for this exercise today, I'm going to be picking out five players that graded out a little bit higher than you might have thought in 2023. And if you play fantasy football, you're going to be familiar with all these names. This by no means is a hot take episode or a deep sleeper episode. You know, these are all relatively high profile guys that you know, but these are going to be players that finished just a little bit ahead of where you might think that they finished for their 2023 season. So I'll give you their positional ranking that PFF assigned to them. And then for each player from there, I'm going to go into some of the pros and cons for each of these guys' seasons and touch on what I see this player's outlook is going forward on the dynasty landscape. And just also note here that all positional finishes are based on a half PPR scoring format. So let's dive into it here. Going to be a quick hitting episode. Start at the wide receiver position. We're going to talk about Brandon Ayuk. He was Pro Football Focus's second highest rated wide receiver on the season. Finished with 105 targets for 75 receptions, 1,342 receiving yards, and 7 scores. Finished WR14 in overall in both points per game as well as overall finish. And positives on Ayuk, what can you say? Incredibly efficient wide receiver. Number 2 in the league in yards per target, yards per reception, and also yards per team pass attempt. Number 3 in the league in yards per route run. Coming off back-to-back seasons, finishing as a top 15 wide receiver. And still just 26 years old, entering 2024. Brock Purdy looks like the real deal at quarterback. He's probably going to be the guy there for at least another couple of years. And what we know about Brock Purdy is that he's definitely a distributor of the football, a guy who likes to stay in the pocket and make choices and distribute the rock. Not going to steal a ton with his legs, although he did impress me a little bit in their playoff run when he had to take off. But for the most part, Brock's going to stand back there and distribute the rock. Ayuk himself there, he has one year left on his contract. So we think he's going to be back in San Fran in this high-octane offense for one more year, but you never know. Like, if he shakes loose from San Fran, he could go somewhere else, and maybe he becomes a target hog. You know, maybe a team overpays for him in the trade market this offseason. Maybe San Fran keeps him for one more year, and he signs as a free agent in 2025 and just kind of takes over, eats all that volume, you know, really tying that efficiency in to the volume piece that he's missing and just becomes that guy. You never know. A lot to like about Brandon Ayuk for sure. He's a guy I know Ethan and I are very high on our show, but, you know, definitely lots to like there. Not everything's perfect though, of course. You know, I may have just kind of spilled the beans a little bit here, but one thing holding Ayuk back a little bit is that volume. You know, his 105 targets were good for just 30th in the NFL. And this may surprise you, but the 49ers were just 30th in the league themselves in terms of team pass attempts per game, whereas they were 6th in rush attempts per game. So, you know, logically, you kind of have to put it together where you have Christian McCaffrey on your team, you're going to go ahead and make him the focal point of your game plan from week to week. You know, also, they were up on a lot of games. You know, the Niners are a really good football team, so they're content to sort of run the clock out in these second halves in games where they get up multiple scores and are entering the fourth quarter. But the lack of attempts in the passing game are coming Ayuk's way are really what's limiting his fantasy ceiling. Team that up with, like, you know, Debo Samuel and George Kittle both being under contract through 2025. They could realistically move on from both those players after 2024 based on the way those deals are structured, and they could lock in Ayuk, but a lot is up in the air what the skill position rooms are going to look like for the San Francisco 49ers, maybe even as early as 2024, but certainly beyond that, it's really murky. So hard to make those long-term calls in Dynasty, but just remember here, Brandon Ayuk, he's produced really well the last couple of years, finishing as a top 15 wideout, but he's yet to crack that top 12 mark in his 4-year career. And as optimistic as I am on him going forward, it is important to note that since 2017, only 8 wide receivers have gone on to finish as a top 12 wide receiver for the first time after their fourth NFL season. And Ayuk just completed his fourth campaign in the National Football League. So definitely a player that our guys are high on here at Sunday Surefire. He's a guy who could easily be an outlier to that mold, but I thought that was worth mentioning, slipping that in there. And we're going to talk about one more receiver in this category, and that's Rashee Rice, the team that just defeated Brandon Ayuk, Kansas City Chiefs, of course. And PFF ranked Rashee Rice 14th among all wideouts in the league. 2023 stats, 102 targets, 79 receptions, 938 yards, 7 touchdowns. Finished second among rookies in receiving yards behind only Puka Nacua. And in terms of overall finish, he was WR27 in overall and also on a points per game basis. So really solid season for Rashee Rice, first one in the league. His positives, he hit nearly 1,000 yards as a rookie, like I mentioned. He was a yards after catch monster, man. Like, yak was off the charts good. 654, good for third among all wide receivers. Finished seventh among wide receivers in red zone targets with 22 on the year. The only players in front of him were guys like CeeDee Lamb, Davante Adams, Calvin Ridley, Tyreek Hill, Amon-Ra St. Brown, DK Metcalf. So guys that really put him in elite company at that, you know, at that metric. And that's what we want. Those scores that put 6 points on the board just like that. Obviously he's tied to Patrick Mahomes for the foreseeable future. We know that Travis Kelce is going to come back in 2024 looking for that three-peat, but he's going to turn 35 years old in October, which means that the end is coming for Kelce sooner rather than later. And I really do think that it is in the realm of possibilities that Rice takes over as the team's primary target leader as early as 2024. But you know, like all these guys here, there's a positive side and there's a negative side to that coin as well. And we'll cover some of those briefly here. In 2023, his first year in the league, Rice only had 6.2 air yards per reception, which is 165th among wide receivers who played at least 9 games. And that stat, what that does is it tracks the yards that a player runs prior to catching the ball. So this kind of showed up on tape as well when you're watching those playoff games, kind of getting to hone in on him. When he was catching the rock, it was always within, pretty much seemed like he was always within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage, if not just a straight-up screen pass, allowing him to create with his legs after the fact. Nothing wrong with that. Just know that thus far he hasn't really done a ton down the field in his career. And so he needs to develop the ability to run routes a little bit crisper, at least in those intermediate areas, to really be explosive and hit those home run plays that fantasy managers love. But, you know, Kelce, aging presents opportunity, but it also means that the team will probably add some target competition. They're probably not going to go into 2024 with an aging Kelce, and then Rice is really their only reliable wide receiver. So this is a deep wide receiver class they could easily add on that front. And there's also some guys in free agency that they could look to add to the mix if they want to upgrade on the Justin Watsons or Marquez Valdez-Scantlings of the world. So a lot's up in the air with Rice too, but overall a good rookie season. And he's a guy that I'm looking to buy in my dynasty leagues if I can acquire him for the right price. Let's switch gears and go over to the running back position. The first guy I want to touch on here is Devon Achane, PFF's number one graded running back. That's right, numero uno off the board. Had 103 rush attempts for 800 yards, 8 scores on the ground, and also added 27 for 197 yards and 3 scores through the air in the receiving game. Finished RB24 in the season and RB4 on a points per game basis. Obviously, he missed 6 games due to an injury and then left 2 other contests in the first quarter. Hence the discrepancy between his overall number finish at 24 and his RB4 points per game finish. When you talk about the positives with Achane, man, like what do you get? You get explosive player, number one in the league among running backs with 1.36 fantasy points per opportunity, number one in the league with a 12.6% breakaway run rate, which is just crazy to think about that he's that dynamic with the ball in his hands, hitting those home runs. Also finished with a ridiculous 7.8 yards per carry, which outpaced the next running back on the list by 2.4 yards per attempt. So just, you know, the advanced metrics on him are awesome if you're into that kind of thing, which the fantasy community is getting more and more in on as the years go by, and I'm certainly in on them myself. If Achane had stayed healthy, he would have been a slam dunk to finish as a top 10, probably even a top 5 running back. And for at least the next 3 years, we know he's going to be part of this Miami offense that actually had 2 backs finish in the top 5 in PFF's RB grading, the other, of course, being Raheem Mostert. Mostert is under contract through 2024, but is entering his age 32 season and is an unrestricted free agent entering 2025. Achane is probably best suited for a part-time role, But he should eat into some of Mostert's work in 2024, kind of stepping into some of that volume to take the brunt off of an aging running back's frame. But Etienne's never probably going to be that guy who garners a ton of work. And that was kind of on display here, given some of the injuries he dealt with as a rookie. And that kind of had some concerns about his size resurfacing. At 5'8", 188 pounds, he's not going to be confused with Derrick Henry out there anytime soon. So, like I said, not going to be a guy who approaches 300 touches in a season, which is really is okay if he remains efficient in this explosive offense. Because, you know, like I said, he was incredibly explosive on the field when he was out there in 2023 as a rookie. But, you know, it is kind of tough to not bank on the volume. But obviously, you know, the guys hitting home runs like that, you have to kind of put him out there. And whenever they're in the lineup, they'll give you a chance. So I view him as a high upside player, but I do want to back him up with options that I can stash on my bench or maybe park in a flex spot that are going to give me a decent break glass emergency type player I can start with confidence if Etienne does continue to be lingered with injuries as his NFL career progresses. Got one more running back to touch on. That's going to be Tajay Spears, who was PFF's 18th graded running back in 2023. Had 100 touches on the season for 453 yards and two scores on the ground. Added 52 receptions for 385 yards and also one score through the air. Finished 35th overall in running back scoring and 41st in points per game. Positives, he showed a dual threat skill set at the end of the year, which was really good to see. In his final six games, he went over 4 yards per carry 4 times and recorded 6+ targets 5 times. And predictably, it took him a little bit of time to get going, playing behind a bruising running back like Derrick Henry, who garners all the volume that you can feed him. Henry, as we know, is a free agent entering this offseason and is not expected to return to the team. He wants to go latch on with the contenders, so there's a real chance that Spears opens the season as a starting running back in 2025, particularly with the 2024 NFL draft and not being super high profile at the running back position. There's not a ton of guys who can just slot in and steal Spears' job outright from the get-go entering 2024. So the Titans are themselves, they're by no means a great football team, but I think Spears' ability to catch the ball should keep him very much involved most weeks as we see him take a step in the sophomore season. Negatives, though, with Spears, we really don't have much of a track record to go on with this player. He played in every game this year, but only once did he register double-digit touches playing behind Henry. Like I said, with him out of the way here, there's going to be a ton of guys that shake loose, have an opportunity to step up in this backfield. But if you look at the backs joining Derrick Henry in free agency, there's a lot of high profile names and the guys that we know, the guys that have been very fantasy viable in recent seasons, guys like Saquon Barkley, Tony Pollard, Josh Jacobs, Austin Eckler, DeAndre Swift, etc. You know, guys that are hitting the market and are going to be many of them likely playing in new homes in 2024. So I don't think the draft is necessarily a big threat to Spears' ability to get an opportunity in this backfield as much as other guys in free agency might be. So this is a kind of a dangerous time to invest in players like this that have a wide range of outcomes who don't necessarily have a big proven track record for success at the NFL level, but it's also could be a unique buying opportunity as well. So I definitely want to kick the tires on Spears in my leagues. And if I can invest for a second round pick, I'm definitely going to take that shot, but anything more than that, I'm probably going to hold off and see how the offseason unfolds before I buy in. Now, there's one tight end I wanted to mention here on this list. That's Trey McBride, rated 7th in PFF among tight ends. Had 106 targets for 81 grabs, 825 receiving yards, and 3 touchdowns. Finished tight end 9 overall and also TE9 on a per-game basis. And following Kyler Murray's return in Week 10, McBride finished the season strong, posted 5 top 7 tight end scoring finishes in 8 games over that time frame. For the season as a whole, he posted the following results at his position. He was number 5 in receptions, number 5 in yards after the catch, and number 1 in target rate. And he was the consensus top tight end in the 2022 draft, looking back. And a year and a half into that, he started living up to the billing, which for a tight end is great from a developmental standpoint. Hitting the ground in the middle of year 2 is amazing. And, you know, he should be getting even better next year with a full season of Kyler giving him the football. And also with Zach Ertz finally moving on as well. McBride, if you look at the negatives here, he was the only pass catcher on the Cardinals to exceed 600 yards in 2023. And as good as he looked, he essentially had the entire offense to himself. The team holds the number 4 pick in the upcoming draft, and they have a big need at wide receiver next to Hollywood Brown to fill. if quarterbacks fly off the board in those first three picks, like a lot of analysts think that they might, that would leave Marvin Harrison Jr. as the best player on the board for a number of teams entering this coming season. So, you know, beyond Harrison Jr., there's a lot of capable receivers in this class. So whether that's the Cardinals are grabbing him at number four, or maybe they move back, or they look to spend another late first round pick on a wide receiver, there's going to be more competition coming into this Arizona offense in 2024. There just has to be, just based on what they were working with a season ago. So I do think that it's going to cut into McBride's work somewhat. However, I think it also could be a double-edged sword where he is also creating opportunities for him where the attention is taken off of him, particularly in the red zone. He's a guy I think can feast in that area as he continues to develop as a player in his own right, and I think he's going to score more than three touchdowns entering 2024. And that's what we have for you folks here on our PFF front. Also wanted to mention an exciting opportunity that you have to speak with us in person. We are partnered with the Did It app. That's D-I-D-I-T. So give it a download. What it does is it lets you instantly connect with a number of fantasy experts at a one-on-one phone call type conversation. The cost that you pay per minute, for us specifically, it's 75 cents a minute for our time. But what you can do there, you can get that personalized custom advice for your specific teams. And as good as it is to get all the outside, information from guys, generic advice is great, but there's a lot of it and you never really know exactly what the best fit for your team is. So this is an opportunity for you to get that one-on-one custom advice where you can get that phone call going. You can share your screen with an analyst. You can kind of talk them through strategy. Particularly important this time of year where rookie draft content is going to be in full swing before you know it. So make sure you're staying on top of it and make sure you're checking out the Did It app and getting connected to an expert today. We're on there as well in the Dynasty section. So make sure you're giving us a chance too. But if not, a lot of great analysts on there as well. And that's all we have for you here today, folks. We're going to be getting headstrong into our rookie content in the upcoming weeks. But until next time, folks, peace.